Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Live from Training Camp 2019, Road to Redemption, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Look at the end of that showdown with the Marlins.
Oh, my gosh.
Nearly distracted.
Hey, throw out the records when the Rockies take on the Marlins.
Yeah.
I mean, that's big time baseball.
Yeah, when the fish come to town.
Oof. Hey, they're landlocked here. They don't even know what's going on when they come to town.
They just gotta flop around.
Oh, yeah. How come that's so low? Can we turn that up? Is that? No, there we go. Yeah, there we go. There we go. This would be a good way to start. Go ahead, Rockies. Just let this breathe a little bit. You come and go.
And with that, we're off and rolling here on a Friday morning. It isn't just me Friday. Is it just me or
who wrote Rockies get ready for their showdown with the Marlins? Was that a Millennial Ben?
Millennial Ben, a lot tougher than I thought.
All right, Millennial Ben, pumped for some weekend baseball, apparently.
Yeah, is that like the showdown, the Rocky Mountain show? Did they do that, the Rocky Mountain showdown between the Rams and the Buffs?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's just something about showdown that just sounds big.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Like out here, we got a showdown.
Yeah.
Got the showdown between the Broncos and the 49ers. Joint practices going on the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you excited to see another team roll through here?
I am. I think it's always exciting, these joint practices. You see it if you watched any Hard Knocks between the Rams and the Raiders. It ratchets it up intensity. There was some scuffles, a couple of fights in those joint practices. I just think from an intensity standpoint, it really helps your football team. So I think it's a good thing.
We got a chance to... All right,
there's a mosquito hovering around me.
I don't like, I've gotten so spoiled living out here.
Right.
That there are very few bugs.
Yes.
Like when I went back east, it was awful.
Gnats and stuff.
Gnats.
But the thing I wish they
were gnats. I think they're like little mini pterodactyls that like want to pick you up and carry you away.
Well, that mosquito, I noticed he was just floating around your forehead. He saw that immense landing area. That thing is like what, like an aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean. He's like, I'm coming in.
Hey, Cougar's on the edge, man. Cougar's on the edge. Let's go.
Come on, Goose.
That MiG rattled that fly.
That's right.
He needs a place to land.
Yes. There you go.
So, hey, you know, is it just me or all off season, all we have heard is just the national media down, negative on the Broncos' chances. Just either down, negative, or just sort of like, they're just kind of irrelevant. 6-10, 7-9, something like that. And then along comes Tony Romo. Tony Romo, of all people, when asked, he was on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. He was asked who he believes could be the surprise team in the AFC this year. Here was his answer.
I'm not into predicting anything, okay? That's first off. So I'm going to say, I think you're right. The team that sticks out to me, you know, in the AFC, I think the Denver Broncos have a chance to really shock some people.
Wow! I'm interested. Explain.
Well, they're in a very tough division, so it's going to be difficult for anybody to run off and go 14-2, 13-3, other than the Chiefs, because their talent level is just so high. So when you're in that division, every game is going to be difficult. But that reminds me of the old, like almost an old NFC East. If somebody got in, it's like they could win the Super Bowl because every game they played was tough back in the 80s and 90s. Well, this division has three or four outstanding teams, three of them for sure. Oakland, we'll see how that plays out. But you know the Chargers are really good. You know the Chiefs are really good. And I think that Vic Fangio is as good a defensive coordinator in his I think he'll show how great of a head coach he is. And you give him Von Miller, and now they went and got the one quarterback I think a lot of teams should have gotten this offseason in Joe Flacco. That right there shows me this team is going to be able, they have leadership on offense. They have a great defensive coordinator, a great defensive player. I think they're going to surprise, if they keep Flacco upright and they can block for him, this is going to be a tough team, especially if you have to go to Denver.
Oh, wow. On there with Adam Schein, who might have to reassess his top nine defenses in the NFL. He left the Broncos off that
list.
Well,
he didn't realize the Broncos. Yeah, he didn't realize the Broncos had a chance. I think, listen, you and I have both talked about this, and I think we've both talked about this from a really realistic point. Like, Tony's point is if they could get in as a 9-7 wild card team, then Katie bar the door, because you've been, we used to call it, when I was in Washington, we call it battle tested. You get through the NFC East, you're battle tested. There was a year where the NFC East won like the 90 Super Bowl, the 91 Super Bowl, the 92, the 93, the 94. Like, it was just one after the other after the other. So if you get through it, you're battle tested. Look at the division. If you watched Monday Night Football on Thursday last night, now, how much of it was the Raiders dramatically improved, and how much was it that coaching staff in Arizona looks a bit in over their head?
Who's their defensive coordinator?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Vance didn't look too sure with his first string defense getting ripped apart by the Raiders.
Mike, I really don't care.
Well, you might need to.
And then I love the Cliff Kingsbury Kyler Murray apologist crew. Now, I think Kyler Murray's gonna have, I think Kyler Murray's gonna be kind of special. Like, I think that. But the apologist crew for the Arizona Cardinals are like, hey, whoa, slow down. Cliff Kingsbury hasn't even released his offense. He's not showing his real offense. So you're telling me in the first 2 weeks of camp, they put in a fake offense. And we're not running any of this stuff.
It's called the decoy offense.
The decoy offense.
You heard of air raid?
Yes.
The air raid offense?
Right.
The West Coast offense?
Uh-huh.
This is the decoy offense.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, at some point, I don't know, execution becomes important. So if you put in an entirely fake offense, I think you're going to be in trouble. But, you know, I understand they're running some base principles in their offense. Maybe they haven't. There's some more route combinations, some more things they're going to do. But the bottom line is they look awful. They have looked awful. A talent level is a question mark there. So we'll see exactly what Arizona is. But you look at what the Raiders, the improvement of the Raiders, the Chargers are a Super Bowl contender. They've got a great defense. They've got Phillip Rivers. I think they've got really good offensive players. Keenan Allen, who we've never been able to cover. You know, they've got some players. Hunter Henry is back. He's healthy. They're tight end. You know, Anthony Lynn, I think, has done a great job there. And we know the kind of talent level, and Tony Romo talked about it with the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's saying, hey, listen, if you can get beyond that 8-8 area that a lot of people predict them, or 7-9, you can get to that 9-7, you could fight and get in with a wild card, then anything's possible because you've been battle tested throughout that process.
All right. In order for them to make Tony Romo, and I assume he was being a bit sarcastic there, when you're saying, well, you know me, I don't predict anything.
Yeah.
Other than every single play that's about to come up during a broadcast of his. But, in order for them to get to 9, and that's the magic number, then I'm telling you, this has to happen. Tell you what that is coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
You know, I don't know whether it was the fact that they were on last night.
Uh-huh.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
Or I've been watching some Hard Knocks.
Right.
The Raiders. Or whether or not my barber, Alex, at Tom and Jake's in Lakewood, is a big Raider fan,
uh-huh.
And I went to see him yesterday, and so we were talking about the Raiders. I had Raiders on my mind yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And so we were just listening to Tony Romo making his case for why he thinks the Broncos could be the surprise team in the AFC. And he's talking about, you know, you get to like 9 wins, you get in. And, Mark, I am already laser-focused on opening night and the importance of this game. I don't see them being able to get certainly to 10 wins. No way. I don't think 10 wins is an option if they lose opening night. I think in order for this to be a 10-win team and to really make sure they're in the playoffs, they have to beat the Raiders opening night. Agree? Disagree?
I mean,
I know I'm calling opening night
a must win.
A must win if you're going to get to 10.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's important, and I think you stack the odds against you. As ridiculous as this sounds, this is a ridiculous conversation because it's the first game of the season. But you know, when you start looking at the roster, which I hate doing, I mean not the roster, the schedule. I hate doing that. People always hand you the schedule. How many wins? Well, we win this one. We win this one. We probably drop one here. This one. I hate going through that.
But you end up being pretty close, don't you?
If you do it, I suppose you know. I mean,
maybe you don't get every game right, but
record-wise, you usually end up pretty close. But there's that one team, that one game that you looked at, and go, wow, I didn't expect to win that one, and then the one you drop that you're like, that's inconsequential. But when you look at As Tony talked about the AFC West, you look at that in general. Like, you can't get swept. You can't, like, with the Chargers and Kansas City, realistically, to be a playoff caliber team or be fighting for a playoff berth, you have to sweep the Raiders in this division.
Yes, you do.
You have to.
You have to.
So
that's my point.
Right. With that said, you're probably correct. If you don't sweep the Raiders, so henceforth, if you don't win the second Monday night game, who's calling that game? Who'll be on the broadcast on that game? You know, it's the late one, right? Beth Bowens and whoever else will be, you know, call. I think Greasy did it last year, didn't he?
Beth Mowens.
What did I call her?
Bowens. See, this is why we can't play O'Reilly.
That's why you getting me on O'Reilly.
Stop. The other day doesn't count.
It does count.
I'm filing a protest.
No, you know when it comes.
What is O'Reilly and what is just you misspeaking?
You know when it comes to 80s stuff, I'm dialed in.
Right?
You can't throw. I don't know anything.
Because you say Beth Bowens, I go Mowens.
And you're like, oh, really?
I'm like, no.
Not that one. Because, you know, I don't know that. I don't know sports nearly as well as I know 80s music. I mean, come on.
Fair point.
That's a fair point.
Good point.
All right, so we just move on. If I get you on 80s something, you know, or.
Then it counts.
Right, or NFL, but broadcasters and crap like that, I'm not, you know, I'll give you that one. I wouldn't, if I went back on you on that one, I go, okay, that's fair. You know, I didn't get you 2 days in a row or whatever it is. But the bottom line, I think Greasy did that last year, didn't he? He was great. He's great. If you don't sweep the Raiders, your chances of being a playoff contending team with this division, because, you know, it's going to be hard, obviously, to split with the Chiefs and the Chargers because they're that good.
Right. We're just assuming that they'll split. So here's the thing. In order to get to 10 wins, you got to go at least 4-2 in your division. Because if you split with the Raiders and you're 3-3, and that's assuming that you split with the Chargers and Chiefs, then you're 3-3. Now you have to go 7-3 in your other games outside your division. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it becomes pretty daunting.
Yeah,
pretty
improbable.
Daunting.
Yeah,
you know, whereas if you sweep the Raiders, now it's 6-4
right.
Outside of your division. You just got to play a tick above 500 outside of your division, and you get to 10 wins. So, yeah, I do believe that in order to get to 10, you got to win Monday night.
Guys, Mike Evans just said that week one Monday night is a must win.
To get to 10 wins, yes. And if you want to challenge me on that, please do. Wide open. RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043.
You know, initially, Mike.
You didn't like the idea, but
initially,
now.
Initially, when you said it, I was like, Mike is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, radio fodder.
Right.
But as you kind of lay out your case, which I hate to say, I think you're right.
And they should beat the Raiders. They should beat the Raiders. Okay, I know they were lucky to even win one game against the Raiders last year. But I am buying into the idea for now. I'm all aboard the optimism train. Better quarterback, better offensive line, skill position players are a year older, and Vic Fangio will be a better coach slash defensive coordinator than Vance Joseph Woods.
He's not tall.
Yeah.
But a lot of that goes away if you don't beat the Raiders opening night.
Boy, if you don't beat the Raiders on opening night, I mean, I know that, you know, my perspective comes from playing football for a long time. I kind of have this sky is falling, you know, the panic button. But there will be some, you know, kind of panic in the streets here. Won't there?
I think there will be. Yes.
Because you assume that the Raiders are still as crappy as they were last year, although I think they've infused their team with a lot more talent. Like, their whole wide receiving core is different, and they've got some talented players that have gotten much more talented on the outside.
Are the Broncos, though, a better team? Are they a more talented team?
I think there
is.
You
went roster to roster.
I think from last year to this year?
No, I think if you take a look at the Broncos roster right now versus the Raiders roster.
Yeah, I think you would make a compelling argument that the Broncos are a more talented team, especially on the defensive side. Offensively, Mike, are they more talented? Like if you're comparing quarterback to quarterback, if you're comparing their top wide receiver to our top wide receiver, their top running back to our top running back, their O-line to our O-line, their top tight end to our top tight end, I would say offensively the Raiders would get the check mark. It'd be close, but from a talent standpoint, I'd put Carr above Flacco. I'd put Antonio.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why? I know Carr's had, he has proven that he can have better statistical years.
Right.
Than anything Joe ever had.
Yes.
But
second year in this offense, more talent around him. I think athletically he's more gifted. I know athletically he's more gifted. And then Antonio Brown, I mean, you can argue he's the best receiver in football. Like their O-line, I promise you their O-line and Tom Cable, who's a good buddy of mine, who's coached in this system forever, their O-line, I think, would probably get the edge over our O-line, especially. You know, they struggled at the tackle position last year with two young guys, but they played them the whole year, and it was because physically they weren't ready to play. You know, who's the cat? I think the cat out of Notre Dame, out of UCLA, Colton Miller. He's just not strong enough. I mean, he didn't have quite a developed NFL body yet. So in year two, they should be better there. They're inside three. I'll put their inside three against any inside three in football. They're inside three. Hudson, Gabe Jackson. Oh, they got rid of what's his head, but Richie Incognito came in. You know, he'll scrap you. He's not the most talented guy. Assembly left and went to, I can't remember where he went, although he played horrible last year anyhow. But like I said, I'll give their offense probably the check mark on a talent level.
Dan in Centennial says, don't forget we beat the Chargers on the road and almost beat Kansas City at home under VJ. Yes, and everything that we're saying here, laying out this scenario,
right,
is with the assumption that they beat the Chargers again and they beat the Chiefs. Once.
Right.
So under this scenario, we're counting on. I'm counting on a win against the Chargers.
Right.
And I'm counting on a win against the Chiefs. And even with counting on that, you still need to sweep the Raiders.
Yes.
So, John brings up a very good point, and Millennial Ben, hopefully you're going to be able to follow this. So John says, so Evans, what you're saying is that we can't lose games and still win to make the playoffs this year.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? I'm just channeling my inner Dilfer. I tell you what, my Dilfer.
I tell you what, it never a truer statement has been made.
No.
I believe that.
God bless Trent Dilfer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, coming up, it is the Morning Brew, Chris Harris, handing out, I mean, you talk about a compliment. How about this compliment from Chris Harris Jr. coming up next?
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stop!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet
Let's get it on.
Just with the run pass, diagnosis, you know, they have a good run game that's married well to their play action game, and they do a good job of that. To me, that's the basis of their offense, and obviously our offense is somewhat similar to that, and it'll be good to go against them and see them operate it at a different level.
All right, is that a good thing to be basically going up against a team that scheme-wise, philosophy-wise, is basically your mirror image?
Is it a good thing?
Is it a good thing, or would it be better off for you to get a look at something different?
No,
knowing that you'll play different styles throughout the year.
I think it's a good thing. I mean, this is a very good preparation, if you will, for the Raiders. This is what the Raiders are going to be. So you talked about the importance of winning game one on a Monday night.
Must win.
It's a must win.
If you want to get to 10 wins.
If you want to get to 10 wins, this is a great kind of litmus test. The other thing about this is, you knew this last year going in and you couldn't stop the tight end. There's a lot of great beneficial work that's going to get done in these next couple of days before this preseason game. So I think it's a good thing, Mike.
Next on the Morning Bro.
Oh, no, he got some ways to go to get with Kittle. Kittle's an all pro, man. So he's still playing football and thinking at the same time. So until that goes away, that's when you can really truly see what type of player he is.
Yeah, let's slow any Noah Fant, George Kittle comparisons
right
for the time being. Noah Fant, although Noah Fant is having a nice camp. He continues to get better and better. I know he's caught the eye of Cecil Lammy, who will join us coming up here in about 10 minutes. But do you think the Broncos defensive players might just dissolve into a puddle once George Kittle walks onto the field?
I don't know about a puddle.
Oh, no, there he is.
There's George Kittle.
Flashbacks.
Right. I think that stuff is, you know, that stuff is behind him. Obviously, it's a motivating factor, and it should be a motivating factor. George Kittle embarrassed him last year.
Oh, the humanity.
It was 270 yards receiving in the first half. So there will be an emphasis.
He went into the halftime break thinking, I'm going to put up 300 on these guys.
Oh, yeah, he probably thought that. Then they called off, Kyle called off the dogs. I don't think it was as much Vance making adjustments as Kyle calling off the dogs. But, yeah, that was bad. And the sad thing was, he was the only option.
Will the Broncos defense really be tested these next couple days by San Francisco? I mean, all right, they got Kittle. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what else do they have?
Well, they've got one of the fastest people on the planet in Goodwin.
Okay.
They've got
great
Pettis.
I could come up with, you know, eight former Oakland Raider wide receivers that were the fastest guys on the planet.
Goodwin can actually play. They've got a good offensive line. They've got a great scheme. They've got a couple of really good running backs. Tevin Coleman, the last time I checked when Tevin Coleman played against the Broncos, that was back when we still had the no fly zone. And, you know, he was running all over the place. So, and Jerick McKinnon, they've got good players.
You know, the no fly zone, that's so 2015. I'm on to the Legion of Zoom.
You're on the Legion of Zoom? Here's the other thing that's going to be, like, this is the other thing. And I'm just going to give you a warning right now. And this goes for both the Broncos players and members of the media that will be out here, including yourself. Do not look directly into Garoppolo's eyes. You'll lose control of your bladder. I guarantee you. You'd be done. You'd be over.
Oh.
Yes. You'd be just like, Coach, I need to go in and change. You.
Next on the morning.
Don't do it.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So can stop beating up on each other and beat up on some other people, but it'll be fine. You know, you kind of see where we are as a team against some other competition. You know, for us as DBs, get a chance to see some other receivers, another quarterback throwing the ball. So should be pretty fine.
There's Kareem Jackson. Well, I will be interested to watch Jimmy Garoppolo for different reasons than you'll be watching Jimmy Garoppolo. And he threw interceptions on five straight passes the other day at practice. Can you imagine in the post-Peyton Manning era out here, as bad as our quarterback play has been, can you imagine the reaction from all the people out here, everything on social media, if one of our quarterbacks that we've had the last few years threw picks on five straight passes? Woo-hoo!
It would be awful. But I will tell you this, it goes to show you that there's a confidence level with Jimmy Garoppolo and with the 49ers that you can throw five straight picks and you know what? You're still the guy.
Like, yeah, it's like the spring training analogy in baseball. He's just getting his work in.
Yeah, just you know, getting
he's working on some things.
Yeah, working on some things. Exactly.
Working on his change up, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, and it's nice when you've reached that level and you've earned it and you've reached that level where you can have a mistake during practice and the coaches or a couple mistakes, you know, mistakes of aggressiveness and this, that, and the other where the coaches don't freak out about it. And I think he's probably in that realm right now where they're not freaking out about it.
Next on the Morning Bro.
Thompson to the corner to McKinney up top to Cousins. Cousins drives in and dunked it with a right hand. Got around Vucevic. 10 points in the third for Boogie, and it's
67-63.
Warriors radio right there. So DeMarcus Cousins tears his ACL. Is it just me? It being an Is It Just Me Friday? Or I don't think this whole LeBron, Anthony Davis, Laker thing is going to work out very well. I mean, they got nothing behind those guys. DeMarcus Cousins was sort of celebrated as, wow, I mean, look, what a great piece to put around LeBron and AD. I don't think people realize that DeMarcus kind of like almost announced his retirement the last few years without telling anybody. He's too big, too injury prone, major injuries.
Yeah, well,
he can't guard anybody anymore. He's got no lift. I mean, he was once a great player. He really was. But,
well, he's not coming back. I mean, he's not coming back this year from ACL.
So, now what do they do? They were already thin anyway.
Just the two of us. Hey, you know what, though? Come on, LeBron in his prime. Now you got to ask yourself: can LeBron lift a team like the Cavaliers all the way to a championship, where it was just LeBron and what Kyrie? Or I mean, can you do it? Because the rest of that roster. No offense to the rest of that roster, and I'm going to offend them. Wasn't NBA great NBA caliber, right?
LeBron a lot younger back then, and I think a lot hungrier. I think he's lost his edge.
No, he's hungry. He's hungry. You haven't seen his Taco Tuesday stuff.
I think he's lost his edge.
You haven't seen his Taco Tuesday.
I think he's lost his edge.
He's hungry.
What I'm saying is that when you tick off the teams that the Nuggets are going to have to overcome in the West, I'm more fearful of Utah than I am the LA Lakers. Put it that way.
I think Utah's got a chance. Although I do think the West now has been fractured a little bit, right?
Fractured? Well, by this move?
No. I'm just saying as a whole, like with Durant leaving, the Warriors have been weakened. Obviously, you know, New Orleans with Anthony Davis, not that New Orleans were contenders, but with them going to the Lakers, I think there's a clearer pathway to making it to the Western Conference Finals.
I would disagree there. I would say the pathway is the same. The teams that you have to get past have changed. It's no longer Warriors, Spurs. It's now Clippers, Jazz, that kind of thing.
Right.
But the path still remains.
Well, it's a different path because it's different teams.
It's still a difficult path, is what I'm saying.
Do you think it's less difficult?
Equally difficult.
I just feel like it's less difficult because I think the Warriors were so damn dominant for so long. Agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree. That's what we do here. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Coming up next, Cecil Lammy will join us, and he'll give us his hot takes, his impressions of where the Broncos are as they head into their joint practices with San Francisco. That's next. Always enjoy the hot takes, smooth observations of Cecil Lammy from 1043thefan.com, who has been out here for every single snap. And he joins us now on the Jägermeister hotline. Cecil, good morning. And I saw yesterday you're very bullish on the development that you've seen from Noah Fant throughout the course of this camp.
Yeah, it's been refreshing, right? Because the first 3 days of training camp, we remember the stories, Emmanuel Sanders calling him out, Cortland Sutton calling him out. I also saw several plays where the football was, you know, just put out a little bit in front of Noah Fant. He wouldn't really, like, dive for it or go get it or show that extra effort. We saw him winded at times, taking a knee, all those sorts of things. Like, that seems to have evaporated, let's say over the last week of training camp, that Noah Fant has shown better effort, certainly not getting called out for his effort whatsoever, that if a pass is a little bit too high or a little bit too low, like, he's making that extra effort to gather in those passes. So whatever they're telling him, he's listening, that's for sure, because Noah Fant has been kind of showing off, as we know he can be, that great weapon for this team over the middle. Still dropping passes. I think everyone should kind of expect that with Noah Fant. I'm not blasting on the kid about that. He dropped one out of every seven catchable passes in college. So that's just going to be kind of who he is. But as long as that effort's there and he's diving for these footballs and that he's, you know, going up high together in these footballs in the red zone, he's showing great effort. And I thought, you know, it's worthy of praise for the young man.
You know, one of the things I was telling Mike the other day is what's on his plate. So you're playing not only Y, but you're playing the backside U. You're playing some motion H, if you will. So you've got like three different positions, three different, distinctly different route trees. You've got routes out of the backfield, routes out of the slot, routes off the outside, outside the numbers. So all those route trees are different. There's a lot that is going on. There's a lot to weigh this kid down, and that's going to take time to progress and time to make those plays. At what point should we start expecting some big plays like that Fort had down the seam, like some big plays to Noah Fant, where we can see him, you know, explode on the scene in a preseason game? Like, at what point do you expect that to happen?
I'd say week three. You know, I look at that Rams game because everyone's like, oh, this is the third preseason game. Yeah, that's right, but they're not going to treat it like the dress rehearsal. The dress rehearsal is against the Rams. So against that team, which is a great test, obviously, I think that's when we should expect to see some more of that as they're kind of unveiling a little bit more of Fant. He's already doing a lot of stuff in the red zone. Certainly saw in the Hall of Fame game, like, they really want to get him involved as soon as possible. And like you said, Stink, he's learning a bunch of things. All those routes that he has to learn and positions that he has to learn, all the while being asked to be a good blocker, which he is, you know, and maybe doesn't get enough credit for. I know it's not exactly the sexy talk, but, you know, he is doing a good job of being a sound, more than an effort blocker. Like, he's being sound with his technique as well. So I would say as soon as possible, you know, he's got that type of talent. I'm still saying, like, not quite in Evan Engram rookie season. Engram had about 60 catches for the Giants when he was a first-round pick, picked in about the same spot, too, as Noah Fant. But, you know, if we had 40 catches, I wouldn't be surprised from the young kid. And, you know, kind of an early and immediate impact is what we should expect when the regular season gets here.
Finally, we had somebody from the national media say something nice about the Broncos. Tony Romo came out and said he believes the Broncos could be the surprise team in the AFC. Cecil, boil it down to two or three things. What has to happen in your mind for that to happen?
Ron Leary has to stay healthy so the offensive line doesn't go into shambles. Like, that offensive line has shown improvement. And yes, Garrett Bowles has even shown that he's going to listen to coaching. He's going to take to coaching. So for me, it doesn't come down to anything the defense has to do. We know that they're going to be elite. Running game, they're going to be strong. I think the guys up front got to protect Joe Flacco because, God bless him, 2 years ago, Joe Flacco tried to play with that back injury, and he did not look the same. People say, what's left in the tank? Well, I want to know what a healthy Joe Flacco looks like because we've seen him try to play with a little bit of hip and then get knocked out last year and only play those nine games. And then 2 years ago, it was a back injury that he played the whole season with, but he still didn't look good. So give me a healthy Joe Flacco. get me an upright Joe Flacco, and then let's see what this team could do, because their formula is tried and true.
Cecil, for me, last thing, you're out here every day, and I've said forever the depth of this wide receiver position is the one thing that probably scares me as much as anything on this team. Where are we right now with Courtland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders, and what do you think, you know, that third receiver and that fourth receiver, what do you think of this receiving corps so far through these first 17, 18 days of camp?
Well, I think Deshaun Hamilton's been one of the most disappointing players we have out there. You know, this was a guy back in May when they put him up at the podium. He's like, yeah, I know Courtland talks about being a number one, but I'm a number one too. I'm like, number one of what? Because he's not even playing like a number three right now. And I know it's not necessarily a big deal, but I'll bring it up as an example. They were going through drills yesterday. They were running in breaking routes at about, I don't know, 12, 15 yards, something like that. And Deshaun was, let's say, fourth in line, fifth in line. He gets up, he runs an out route. And Flacco didn't even throw the ball. Flacco just kind of looked at him and, you know, was probably like, what are you doing? And that's the type of thing. It's like, come on, Deshaun. It's not just the fact that he's not getting the separation that we need to. And I understand he's been banged up, and we give him credit for playing when he's a little coming back from injury, all that kind of stuff. Stop getting banged up. That's what happened last year. And Deshaun Hamilton, while he is a refined route runner, he's not the type of guy that can lose a half a step and still be the same player. So, you know, in order for that, he's got to stay healthy, got to get out there, show the separation that he had in college as Penn State's all-time leading receiver. Show some of that, because we certainly haven't seen it. And when this team added Theo Riddick, I asked the question like, yeah, you know, get rid of Devontae Booker, whatever, but is it really because they don't have a slot receiver? I mean, honestly, is it better off with Kenny Tats on the outside, Courtland Sutton on the outside, and Sanders in the slot? I think that might be your best trio if you're just looking to how to get the ball to a slot receiver. The best slot receiver on this team is Emmanuel Sanders, and he might still be the number one receiver, not the number three. And also watch out for Juwan Winfrey. We know that kid can ball out. He's doing a good job. You know, maybe a drop or two here or there, but full effort from this guy. Just great routes, great hands, concentration, and extreme athleticism with Juwan Winfrey. So if you're Deshaun Hamilton and you don't get it, watch out, because Juwan Winfrey will get it, and he's nipping at your heel.
Nobody throws a party quite like a Cecil Lammy Fantasy Draft Party, August 25th at Blake Street Tavern. This is what you get for just $15, a draft board for your league, a beverage, and a burger for $15. It's presented by Founders All Day IPA. You can register at 1043thefan.com/fantasy. Cecil, thank you.
Be good, fellas.
All right, coming up, if you haven't heard what Tony Romo had to say, glowing recommendation, if you will, for the Broncos' chances this year, you'll hear it next.